Okay, so are you ready to dive into some seriously mind-bending stuff today? We're tackling Rupert Sheldrake and his theory of formative causation.
Definitely. It's a fascinating one, and we've got some great excerpts from his book, A New Science of Life, that you sent over.
It's a real head-scratcher, that's for sure. But that's what makes these deep dives so fun, right?
For sure. I mean, Sheldrake really goes for the big mysteries, the things traditional biology kind of dances around.
Exactly. Like we always hear, DNA is the blueprint of life. But how does that blueprint actually become a living, breathing thing? Sheldrake says there's got to be more to it.
He's not satisfied with just the simple explanation, and he uses some compelling examples to make his point, like that experiment with the sea urchin embryo.
Oh, yeah, the Dreyfus experiment, right? You cut the embryo in half, and instead of getting like a half-formed mess, you get two perfectly normal but smaller sea urchins.
Exactly. If DNA was the whole story, you'd expect some serious problems, but it's like something is guiding that development, even when you disrupt the original plan.
Right. And what about something like cuckoo migration? How do those birds just know where to go? They fly thousands of miles. It's mind-blowing.
It is incredible, and it's hard to imagine how that's purely hardwired into their genes. It's just so complex. And that's where Sheldrake introduces morphic fields. It's like these invisible blueprints guiding the way organisms develop.
Okay, morphic fields. So these fields, they're like templates, shaping things beyond just their DNA. But hold on, this isn't just about living things, is it? He even thinks crystals are shaped by these fields.
That's right. He proposes that brand new chemicals are really tough to crystallize at first. But as time goes on, they get easier, almost as if they're learning.
Wait, are you talking about that sugar? What is it called? Turanose?
Yeah.
Didn't it take like 100 years for someone to finally
Yeah,
crystallize
it
it?
did, over a century. And Sheldrake says that once someone, somewhere, managed it, the process got easier for everyone else. Like that first crystal paved the way.
So it's like a collective memory, but for crystals? Wild. So this morphic resonance, as he calls it, means that every time a new form pops up, it's a little easier for something else to follow that same pattern. But here's where it gets even wilder. He connects this concept to the idea of acquired characteristics being inherited. That's a pretty controversial idea in biology.
It is. Most biologists would say our kids won't inherit our love for spicy food just because we develop a taste for it. But Sheldrake suggests that there might be more to inheritance than just our genes.
Okay, so what kind of examples is he looking at?
Well, he points to things like blue tits, learning to peck open milk bottles to get to the cream. That behavior spread much faster than you'd expect if it was just random genetic mutations.
So those birds were learning from each other. But wouldn't that make more sense than, some invisible field?
It might seem that way, but he also talks about things like how cattle instinctively avoid those metal grates on the road. Did they evolve to be scared of those that quickly? It makes you think.
That's true. So you're saying what we do today, the things we learn, could actually be influencing our entire species down the line. That's a pretty big concept.
It's a big concept with even bigger implications. Imagine if every time someone learned a new language, it became a little bit easier for everyone else to do the same.
Now that's a thought. And this is where my brain starts to hurt a little. Sheldrake even ties this into the human mind. He suggests that our minds might not just be influenced by these morphic fields, but could be shaping them.
Right. So instead of just being shaped by them, we're contributing to this collective memory.
But how can our individual minds have that much power? I mean, we're talking about fields shaped by everything that's ever existed.
That's where Sheldrake's conversation with the physicist David Bohm comes into play. Bohm's idea of the implicate order is really important here.
Okay, the implicate order. That sounds intense. How do we even wrap our heads around that?
So imagine an ocean, right? With waves constantly crashing and receding. Those waves, they represent what we see, what we experience every day. That's the explicate order, the surface reality.
Okay, I'm following. The waves are what we see, but there's more to it than that.
Exactly. Beneath those waves is this vast, deep ocean, and that's the implicate order. It's the source of all those forms and patterns that pop up in the world.
So it's like the implicate order is this hidden blueprint, and everything we see is just a ripple on the
A
surface.
great way to put it. The explicate order is always changing, but the implicate order is this deeper level of reality. It connects everything.
So how does this connect to Sheldrake's morphic fields? Are they floating around in this ocean somewhere?
In a way, yes. Sheldrake sees the implicate order as the source of these fields. Think of it like this. All the information for a movie is contained on the film itself, right? Well, the implicate order holds the potential for everything that emerges in the world. guided by morphic resonance.
So these morphic fields are drawing upon this underlying field of information mm-hmm. being shaped by everything that's ever existed. That's a lot to process.
It is a lot. And it challenges our typical ideas about what's real and how things work.
It's like we're all swimming in this giant ocean of consciousness, influencing and being influenced in ways we don't even realize.
It's a powerful image, isn't it? And it makes you wonder about the true extent of our interconnectedness.
It really does. But let's come back to the science for a second. Sheldrake does propose some actual experiments to test all of this, right?
He does. And the crystallization of new chemicals is a big one, because it's something you can measure in a lab.
So if Sheldrake's right, those new chemicals should get easier and easier to crystallize over time, even if they've never been crystallized before, right?
Exactly. It's a bold prediction, and it would definitely shake things up. We've got anecdotal evidence, like the Turinose example, but we need more rigorous testing.
Okay, what about those examples with the blue tits and the cattle grids? Don't those seem like pretty strong evidence?
They're intriguing, for sure, but we have to be careful. Just because two things happen around the same time doesn't mean one caused the other.
Right, like those blue tits might just be really good at imitating each other, and those cattle grids probably just look scary to animals, even without any past experience.
Exactly. So to really test this, Sheldrake proposes a more direct experiment. He suggests training a bunch of animals, like rats, to do something specific, maybe learn a maze.
And then seeing if rats somewhere else in the world learn it faster.
You got it. If there's a measurable difference and they learn it faster than they should by chance, that would be pretty compelling.
Sounds like a tough experiment to pull off.
Yeah.
But the potential payoff would be huge.
That's the thing about exploring the frontiers of science. It's not always easy, but the potential to change our understanding of the world is what drives us.
It's about asking the big questions, even if the answers are hard to find. And it seems like Sheldrake is certainly asking some big ones.
He definitely is. And those big questions are what lead to the most exciting discoveries.
It's wild to think that just by learning something, we could be making it easier for someone else to learn that same thing, even if they're miles away.
It's a really profound concept. It challenges our whole idea of what learning even is. If it's not just about our individual brains changing, but also about contributing to this larger field of knowledge.
Right. Like, are we shaping the world just by thinking? That reminds me, we were talking about how Sheldrake thinks our minds could be influencing these morphic fields, not just being shaped by them. But how does that actually work? Our minds seem so small compared to this vast collective memory.
That's where it gets even more interesting. Have you ever had those aha moments, those bursts of insight where the answer just seems to come out of nowhere?
Oh, absolutely. Like when you're stuck on a problem for days and then suddenly, boom, the solution just pops into your head.
Exactly. Sheldrake suggests that those moments could be us tapping into this collective reservoir of knowledge, drawing on solutions and ideas that have been discovered by others in the past.
Wait, so you're saying my great idea might not be so original after all?
Well, it might not be entirely your own, at least not in the traditional sense. It's more like we're all contributing to and drawing from this wellspring of creativity and innovation.
Wow. That's both humbling and kind of terrifying at the same time. But if these morphic fields are real, where do they fit in with everything else we know about, like physics? That's where David Bohm's ideas come in, right?
Exactly. Bohm's concept of the implicate order offers a way to understand how these fields might actually operate.
Okay, time for a physics refresher. For those of us who haven't cracked open a quantum mechanics textbook lately, break it down for us. What is the implicate order?
All right, so imagine a movie being projected onto a screen. The images we see, the characters, the story, that's like the explicate order. It's the reality we perceive with our senses.
Gotcha. The explicate order is what we see, but there's more to it than that.
Way more. The film itself, with all its hidden details and the potential for the entire story, is like the implicate order. It contains so much more information than what we see on the screen at any given moment.
So the implicate order is like the blueprint? And the explicate order is what unfolds from that blueprint.
Perfect analogy. And just like in a movie, the explicate order is constantly changing, flowing, but the implicate order represents a deeper, unchanging level of reality.
And it's this deeper level where everything is interconnected.
You got it. It's a realm of pure potentiality and interconnectedness.
So how does this all tie back to Sheldrake's morphic fields?
Well, Sheldrake sees the implicate order as the source of these fields. Just like all the information for the movie is contained in the film, the implicate order holds the potential for all the forms and patterns that we see in the world, guided by morphic resonance.
Okay, so the morphic fields are drawing upon this vast underlying field of information. being shaped by everything that's come before. It's almost like we're all swimming in the same ocean of consciousness.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It really challenges our typical notions of individuality. If we're all connected at this deep level, what does that mean for how we interact with the world with each other?
It definitely makes you think about things differently. It's both humbling and awe-inspiring at the same time. But as amazing as this all sounds, we have to talk about the science. You mentioned earlier that Sheldrake proposes some testable experiments to validate his theories.
He does. And one of the most promising areas for testing morphic resonance is with animal behavior. Sheldrake has proposed an experiment where you train a large group of animals, say rats, to learn a specific task.
Like navigating a maze.
Exactly. You could train them to navigate a maze or solve a puzzle, and then you observe whether a similar group of rats, completely isolated and with no contact with the first group, learns that same task faster than you'd expect by chance.
So if there's a measurable difference and those rats learn faster than they should, that would support the idea of morphic resonance.
Precisely. Of course, you'd have to design the experiment really carefully. You'd need to make sure the two groups of rats were as similar as possible in terms of their genetics and their environment. And you'd need to rule out any other explanations for why the second group might learn faster.
It sounds like a tricky experiment to pull off. But if you could do it, the results would be groundbreaking.
Absolutely. It would be a major step forward in understanding how interconnected we really are.
What about other experiments? Are there any other ways to test Sheldrake's theories?
Another fascinating area is the crystallization of new chemicals, which we talked about earlier. If morphic resonance is real, those chemicals should become easier to crystallize over time, even in labs that have never been exposed to the original crystals.
So it's like that saying, once a pattern is formed, it's easier to follow.
Exactly. It's like the very act of crystallizing for the first time creates a pathway, a template, that other molecules can then follow more easily.
It's like the universe is learning, becoming more ordered and complex over time.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. And while more research is definitely needed to confirm or refute Sheldrake's theories, the implications are huge. It really makes you question our place in the grand scheme of things.
It's both humbling and exciting, isn't it? To think that we might be part of something so much bigger than ourselves, connected in ways we're only just beginning to understand.
It really is. Sheldrake's work challenges us to expand our view of what's possible and embrace the mystery of the unknown.
You know, it's funny how we started this deep dive talking about things like sea urchins and crystals.
Right.
And now we're like knee-deep in the nature of consciousness and the interconnectedness of the universe. It's mind-blowing stuff.
That's the beauty of Sheldrake's work, isn't it? He starts with these tangible scientific questions, but then he takes you down these really fascinating philosophical paths.
He really does. It's like he's opening up all these new doors in your mind. And it makes you wonder, what else is out there? What other mysteries are we just starting to glimpse?
Exactly. And if these morphic fields really are out there subtly influencing everything, what does that mean for us? What about free will?
Ooh, now there's a big question. Are you saying we're all just puppets? That these fields are calling all the shots?
Sheldrake doesn't take it that far. He suggests it's more of a two-way street. We're both influenced by these fields and contributing to them at the same time. Our choices, our actions, they all feed back into this collective memory, shaping the possibilities for us and everyone who comes after us.
So it's like we're all part of this giant feedback loop. We're shaping the future with every little thing we do.
In a way, yes. It's both empowering and a little daunting, isn't it?
It is. It makes you realize that maybe even the smallest actions can have a ripple effect.
Exactly. If Sheldrake is right, that ripple effect could be far greater than we can imagine. Even the smallest act of kindness or creativity could send out waves that we can't even perceive.
It's like we're all part of this grand cosmic dance, all interconnected, moving to a rhythm we're just starting to hear.
A beautiful way to put it. It really challenges our usual ways of thinking about ourselves and the universe.
It really does. So where does Sheldrake leave us with all of this?
I think he leaves us with a sense of wonder, a renewed curiosity about the world and how much we don't know.
He certainly does that. It's like that feeling you get when you look up at a night sky full of stars. You realize just how vast and mysterious everything is.
Exactly. And while Sheldrake's theories might not have all the answers, they offer a whole new way of seeing things, a new perspective on life, evolution, and what it means to be a part of this universe.
And sometimes, a new perspective is all it takes to spark a real revolution in how we understand the world.
I couldn't agree more. Whether or not morphic resonance is ever definitively proven, Sheldrake's work challenges us to think differently, to be open to the unknown, and that's something we can all benefit from.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've all had quite the workout today, mentally speaking. If you're listening out there and your brain feels a little fried, trust me, you're not alone.
It's definitely a lot to process, but that's what makes these deep dives so rewarding. They leave you with more questions and answers and a desire to learn more.
Well said. And who knows? Maybe someone listening right now will be the one to unlock the secrets of morphic resonance. Until then, keep those minds open, stay curious, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.